بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، so yesterday we began this discussion of Quranic du'as, du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran. As these are the du'as coming directly from the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undoubtedly they are the best du'as. This is something that is, this premise does not need to be further elaborated upon, nor does it need further evidence to be established. It's inherently self-evident. Like you do not need to prove the existence of the sun. The sun is self-evident that the sun is existing. Likewise, the fact that these du'as are the best du'as is something absolutely self-evident. We hold these truths to be self-evident. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in the Quran, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. And then we declare our servitude to Him. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Only You do we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Only from You we seek help. One additional point that I did not mention yesterday is that after إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, when we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, O Allah, only from You we seek help, then there are so many, that's general, we seek help from You. What type of specific help? That, O Allah, give us clean drinking water. Do not make it like Flint a few years ago. Alhamdulillah. That's when we drink water. There are many du'as for, one of the du'as for drinking water is Alhamdulillah Alladhi. The all praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made it Azban Furatan bi fadlihi wa lam yaj'alhu milhan ujajan bi dhunubina. That all praise and thanks to that Allah who made the water sweet and fresh from His fadl only, and He did not make it bitter and distasteful due to our sins. If it's sweet and fresh, it's because of His fadl. And if it would have been bitter and it would have been painful to drink, it would have been as a result of our sins. So all of these blessings, we could ask for clean water, clean air, we could ask for wealth and health, we could ask for jobs, we could ask for anything, because إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, linking this إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ with the ayah that precedes it, is that the greatest isti'ana, the greatest source, the greatest way of seeking help from Allah, is that when you're seeking help, then you seek help based on priorities. So what's the top priority? What's the most important thing you need? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us is that you need hidayah. So we need hidayah more than the food we eat, and then more than the food it would be water, and then more important than water, someone would argue, is air. So think about it, if it's being deprived. Someone is deprived of food, he may die in how many days? And then if he's deprived of water, or how many weeks without food, how many days without water, and then it's not even hours, how many minutes without air. But more important than air is the need we have for hidayah. If you have more air, more water, more food, then you'll extend your life here, but at the end of the day you're going to die. And what's going to save you from eternal punishment in the akhirah is hidayah. So eternal salvation and protection from eternal damnation in the hellfire is based upon hidayah, the presence or lack thereof. So therefore, hidayah is the most important need. So this is another point to add. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us, O Allah, grant us hidayah. What are the different types of hidayah? We talked about six types of hidayah. And the question that why do we continually seek hidayah? We talked about it last night, from one hidayah to the next, from first to second, second to third, etc. Moving on, let's go to the next word after ihdina, to sirat. Sirat is a path. Al-mustaqim is straight. There are a couple of points about the second word. So we covered ihdina, first word. Now, have we completely extracted everything from it? Absolutely not. If there's one thing we know, is that we can never reach the depths of the kalam of Allah. But for us, for our, for the purposes of this forum and this discussion, we are moving on from the word ihdina to the next word, as-sirat. As-sirat's path, al-mustaqim, straight. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions a principle from geometry. When we were in school, we were taught, oh, algebra is an Arabic word, al-jabr. And geometry, and you know, all of these, you know, if you'll say, wait, it came from the Arabs, they're the ones who transmitted it. Some of the principles, many of the principles, honestly came from ancient Greeks. So the Pythagorean theorem, Pythagoras wasn't from Baghdad, right? But what happened is that it was preserved was translated into Arabic, and then it was preserved by the Arabs, and then it was translated back into Latin when they were in the Dark Ages, when the Renaissance happened, right? After the Crusade and all of that, when they got exposed. So in any case, the Arabs, they knew geometry. And the reason geometry, as I'm mentioning it here, is that Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. So this is a straight line. A straight line, he says, is the shortest path between two dots. It goes into the whole geometric discussion. Fakhruddin Razi, At-Tafsir al-Kabir. He says the shortest path between two points is a straight line. The most direct path. Sirat al-Mustaqim is the most direct path to Allah. It's the least confusing. It doesn't go on different tangents like I do. Right? So there's no tangential things where you're going off and then you end up taking, you know, a detour, and then you gotta come back under the straight path. The Sirat al-Mustaqim, there's no detours, you don't get lost. It's the shortest path between any two points. It's a straight line. Subhanallah. That is one additional point about Sirat al-Mustaqim. Another point about Sirat al-Mustaqim is that the word Sirat is a singular word. It's not dual, it's not plural. One straight path. This is that comprehensive route without deviations that will take you straight towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he's emphasizing the point that is singular, then that is contrasting with plural. Just like in the last rak'ah that Mufti Azimuddin led right before I started, was Ayatul Kursi and Allahu waliyul ladina amanu, la ikraha fid din, then Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. So these are well-known ayat. Look at that Allahu waliyul ladina amanu ayah. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the supporter, the caretaker, the wali of the believers. What does he do? يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He takes them out from all the multiple forms of darknesses to the one nur. It's not anwar, it's nur. One nur, how many darknesses? Zulumat, so many different types of darknesses. The darkness of kufr, of fisk, of isyan, of ma'asi, all the different batil paths are zulumat, darknesses. إِلَى النُّور, to the one path of nur. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and the disbelievers, أُولِيَاهُمُ الطَّاغُوتِ, their friends and supporters are the shayateen. يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. From the one nur, those shayateen take them to the multiple darknesses. وَلَيْكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They are the dwellers of fire, they shall reside therein forever. The point of this ayah here that we are quoting is which one? The plural versus the singular. That's the point. The plural versus the singular. So he says that there's one path, and that is the straight path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. Now, this path is now further defined. Moving on. Which path? This path is defined in two ways. Muthbatan wa manfiyan. Positively and negatively. The path of such people, not the path of such people. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. The path of those people that, O Allah, you have favored them. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not the path of those people who have earned your anger, not the path of those people who went astray, who have gone astray. So, these are all people. So next word we want to focus on, we talked about ihdina yesterday, we talked about how it's connected to nasta'een today, we talked about sirat al-mustaqim, straight path, singular, it's only one, and it's direct, no zigzags, no turns. Okay, now, this word here, alladhina, the path of those people. There's a lesson here, right there too, in the word alladhina, the path of those people. The scholars of tafsir over here mention that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defining sirat al-mustaqim, he could have just said sirat al-Qur'ani wa sunnah, and it would have been correct as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's defining the sirat al-mustaqim, he's defining it with people, the path of those people, with physical human beings, with human beings, the path of people that, O Allah, you have favored, not the path of those people. He's linking it with human beings. The reason he's linking it with human beings is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that from the beginning of time, when it comes to hidayah that we are seeking from Allah, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, for this hidayah, there are two means. One is the Kitabullah, second are the Rijalullah. The books of Allah, the Wahi, revelation, and those who embody the revelation. In fact, Rijalullah starts with those upon whom the revelation came, upon whom it was revealed, the Anbiya. And after the Anbiya, then their Khulafa, their Sahaba, and their Ulama that followed. So they embodied the teachings of the Quran in their lives. These are both important components. We need the Book of Allah, and we need the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, the human being, the human element is necessary to see how to implement it, to see how to practice it. So this was from the beginning of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just sent down the wahi and it would have been engraved on a mountain. And it could have been inscribed on a mountain. كَالنَّقْشِ فِي الْحَجَرِ as they say in Arabic, الْعِلْمُ فِي الصِّغَرِ كَالنَّقْشِ فِي الْحَجَرِ. That learning something in childhood is like imprinting or engraving something in stone. Meaning it does not change and with time, it does not get lost. So it could have been engraved on a mountain. Like Mount Rushmore or something like that nature, where the wahi would have been there preserved on a mountain, you go, everybody read it. But instead of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the wahi upon a human being. Yes, a human being, the best human being, the best creation, but he was a human being. When the mushrikun, every day they would come up with a different idea, and they would wake up in the morning and they would rub their eyes and say, okay, let's come up with a new excuse. What can we say to, and what excuse we can come up with to reject the Quran? So one day they said, "Wa ma man'ana an yu'minu idh ja'ahum al-huda illa an qalu ab'athallahu basharan rasulan." Oh, we don't believe in this Quran because why is the Rasul a human being? He should be an angel. "Qul law kana fil ardi mala'ikatun yamshuna mutma'innin." Allah Ta'ala said, if the whole earth was populated primarily for angels, that they're walking around. This is Allah Ta'ala saying, "Yamshuna mutma'innin," walking around peacefully everywhere. Rush hour everywhere, there's just angels. Then we would send a messenger as an angel. But this earth is populated primarily for human beings. Actually, there are more angels than human beings because by default, every human being has two kiram and katibin right there, is double. Writing the good deeds and writing the sins. Then you have hafadah, you have many angels. But they are secondary occupants, not primary occupants. So if the earth was primarily occupied by angels, then we would have sent a prophet as an angel. But the earth is made for human beings, so the Prophet is also a human being. And Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he established Makkah al-Mukarramah, inshallah, we hope to get to his dua too, which is coming in the next surah, Surah al-Baqarah. He knew that when he was making dua for his progeny while establishing Makkah, he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs that the system of Allah, the sunnatullah, is that you need kitabullah and you need rijalullah. That is why he made dua for his progeny, that رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. Oh Allah, send in my progeny a teacher, a prophet. And that prophet was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also told the اقتدوا يعني اتبعوا سنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين. Follow my sunnah, follow the sunnah of my خلفاء الراشدين. Follow اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبا بكر وعمر. Follow these two individuals after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. And then after that, follow those who are linked with them. Who are the inheritors? The prophets that are coming to an end. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the final prophet, but the inheritors of the prophets. Al-ulama warasatul anbiya. The inheritors of the prophets are those who have been endowed with the knowledge of the prophets. So in this regard, the ummah goes to two extremes. There are those who completely reject 1400 years of unbroken scholarship and the chains of scholarship and say that if they had a brain, so do I. I can figure it out on my own. And the other extreme is that they leave the Quran, the Sunnah, and they hold on to the pseudo-scholars who are teaching things that are completely anti-Sharia. It'll say that you go and pray, I just flew to Medina and prayed by the Roda and I came back. So they will buy those type of lies. So they're holding on to men without wahi. And some are holding on, are claiming to hold on to wahi without following the true scholars. We need both. Sirat al-Ladina, the path of those people. So that was a brief discussion about people, that we cannot divorce ourselves from those who embody the deen and those who are teaching the deen. And such people will exist till the end of time. And when such people cease to exist, then the world itself will cease to exist. لحملن هذا العلم من كل خلف عدوله. From every generation, the selected servants of Allah will carry the ilm from the previous generation and will transmit it to the next. They are the alladhina an'amta alayhim. This example of an'amta alayhim, those people whom you have favored. Not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor the path of those who go astray. And next point is that ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله. Allah Ta'ala teaches us that whatever good happens to you, you should attribute that back to Allah. وما أصابك من سيئة, whatever bad happens, فمن نفسك, you should attribute that to yourself. Right? So one of the templates of a mufti when he writes a fatwa, at the end he says that إن كان الصواب فمن الله. It's part of the template. If anything I wrote in my fatwa is correct, it is from Allah. وإن كان الخطأ, if there's a mistake in my fatwa, فمني ومن نفسي ومن الشيطان المارد. It's me, my nafs, and shaitan. So if there's any mistake, you attribute it to yourself. Anything correct, you attribute it to Allah. So over here, if you notice, there is a change in who is doing the action, the subject of the verb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the path of those whom you have favored, an'amta alayhim. It's not that they earned it. It's not that they chose the right path. The good people, the good guys, who are they? The good guys are the ones that you favored. So all of the blessings that and all of the righteous things that we want to follow them, these righteous people, the fa'il, the subject of the verb is Allah, an'amta alayhim. If Allah Ta'ala wanted to keep it consistent like that, it could have been sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayra al-ladhina ghadabta alayhim, wala al-ladhina adlaltahum. O Allah, we seek the straight path, the path of those that you have favored, not the path of those you got angry at them, not the path of those you sent them astray. So it's all you. Or it could have been consistent the other way around. The path of those they earned your favor, not the path of those they earned your anger, not the path of those they went astray. Again, it's consistent that every verb is being attributed to the slaves. They earned your favor, they earned your anger, they went astray. Then it's consistent. But it's not. It's not option A nor B. What is it? C. C is that, O Allah, it's the path of those you favored them, not the path of those they earned your anger, they went astray. So anger-wise, astray-wise, is the abd, the slave. He earned the anger, he went astray. In'am and ihsan and favor, all favor is from you, O Ya Allah. Subhanallah. Like this Quran Allah has given us, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Everything happens with the permission of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that this Quran that He has granted us as a legacy, there are three categories. Some of them are doing great dhulm upon themselves by abandoning the Quran. Category number two are halfway. They go a little bit and they forget and they come back and then they go back and forth. And third are those who are far ahead. And when it comes to the third group, Allah Ta'ala adds the word bi'idhnillah, with Allah's tawfiq. So anything we're doing good, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a beautiful lesson we learn here as well. Next point is, who are the mun'am alayhim, who earned the in'am from Allah? And who are those maghdubi alayhim, who earned the anger from Allah? And who are those who went astray? Who are these groups? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in the Quran. And in the books of tafsir, when you talk about in usul of tafsir, then there's one chapter in usul, principles of tafsir, called that masadir of tafsir, meaning sources of the tafsir. When you're doing tafsir, which is tabyinu muradillahi ta'ala bi kalamihi, explaining the meaning of Allah Ta'ala, where do you get the meaning from? So there are different sources. Whatever knowledge we have about the Quran, what's the source? The source of the knowledge. The masadir, the sources of the tafsir. So the highest source is tafsiru kalamillahi bi kalamillahi, explaining the word of Allah through the word of Allah. Second is tafsiru kalamillahi bi kalami rasulillah, explaining the word of Allah through the words of Rasulullah. Then, meaning through the hadith. And then explaining the words of Allah through the aqwal of sahaba and tabi'un. Then explaining the words of Allah through the statements of other mufassirun. Then through analogy and qiyas and logic, through the language, etc., etc., driving points. So when the scholars of tafsir talk about explaining the word of Allah through the word of Allah, the standard textbook example, the first example is this one. That's why we may have heard it here and there in different speeches, that who are those that Allah Ta'ala has favored? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala describes Himself. And the story of that is the story of Thawban radiallahu anhu, He was Mawla Rasul, freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thoban radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked a question that, Ya Rasulullah, we love you so much. You are my master. Like, actually, he was his master, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had freed him. And he, coming from lowest social status, he was as a slave, bottom of the ladder, he was freed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet he had the love for Rasulullah, the proximity to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would come and sit with Rasulullah and visit Rasulullah. And he said that, we miss you so much. Sometimes we are overcome with the longing, and we're feeling the pangs of separation. And then we come and sit outside your door until whenever you, on your own accord, حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم. You come out on your own, then we see your noble face and your countenance, and then we satisfy our longing and we feel pleasure and relief from that pain of separation. This is how we're barely making it through this life. Now my concern is that in Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la, you will be closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a high level of gated community of the Anbiya. And I do not know if I will even make it to Jannah, and if I do, I will be at a very low level. So how will I survive there? And what is the point of Jannah if I cannot be near you? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have a response right away. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, granting, subhanallah, this great bashara and glad tiding that those who are the righteous ones, they will have the company. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَعْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. They will have the company, they will be in proximity to those whom Allah has favored. أَنَعْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. The same أَنَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. أَنَعْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah has favored them. Who are those categories that Allah has favored them? Four categories. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءُ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. These are the four categories. وَحَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. The best companions possible. And this is فضل من الله, ذلك فضل من الله. So, those whom Allah has favored, we're asking Allah, O Allah, continue to guide us, take us along the straight path, shortest path between any two points, no zigzags. The path of those people, we're not just trying to understand it on our own, we want to be attached to people who you have favored. And you have favored the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin. Nabi is the one who receives wahi from Allah. Siddiq is the one, subhanAllah, who is intensely truthful. The pinnacle of tasdiq, his conviction in the truth of the messenger is at the highest level. The top ranking ummati is the Siddiq. Shuhada, martyrs who give the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. Salihin, righteous ones. Salihin, righteous ones are those, subhanAllah, who fulfill all the faraid and wajib, sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, nafal, mustahab. They fulfill all of these. And subhanAllah, they avoid haram, makruh tahrimi, makruh tanzihi, mashbuh, doubtful things. In fact, they avoid many mabah, permissible things that may lead to that which is impermissible. لا يبلغ العبد درجة المتقين. A person cannot reach the level of taqwa حتى يدع ما لا بأس به مخافة الوقوع فيما به بأس. Until he leaves many permissible things to out of subhanAllah, precaution, that I'll avoid this permissible thing because it may lead to that which is impermissible. SubhanAllah. And if they ever commit a mistake as a human being, then they will immediately make tawbah, and will make up. This is the definition of who a salih. So these are the four categories. Nabiyin are one distinct category. The remaining three categories is like a hierarchy. Starting off bottom, salihin. Some of them go further beyond salihin, become shuhada. Some of them go further higher than that, become siddiq. One time the mountain Uhud started shaking, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing there, and he took his whip and he whipped and he hit the mountain. And he said, "Uskun, be stop shaking. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ نَبِيٌ وَصِدِّيقٌ وَشَهِيدًا." He was standing with the regular companions. Who are they? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. So with the same four Sahaba, Khulafa Rashidun, he was with them. He said, "Who is standing upon you, O mountain? How dare you shake? Upon you is Nabi and Siddiq, Abu Bakr, wa Shahidan, Umar and Uthman." SubhanAllah. But even Ali Radhan was Shaheed. So Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman were there. Umar, Uthman and Ali, all three became Shaheed. But in the hadith, in this riwayah, Shahidan, two Shaheed. So that means Ali Radhan was not there that in this time. It was Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman. Nabiyun, Siddiqun, Abu Bakr and Shahidan, Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhumah. That's how they're buried too. You have Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next to him Abu Bakr Siddiq, next to him Umar Shaheed radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So these are the path of those people that we are seeking guidance. The path of those people Allah Ta'ala has favored. Now, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not leave us wondering what is the straight path. He told us what it is. Thereafter, he goes on to say, غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor the path of those who have gone astray. Why is he identifying it further and with two groups? Not this one, not that one. The reason is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting for us two traps. One is called the trap in the trial of shubuhat, fitnatu shubuhat. One is fitnatu shahawat. Intellectual doubts, shubuhat, lack of knowledge, and shahawat are desires, carnal desires, doubts and desires. D, doubts, desires, shubuhat, shahawat. I talked about this many times before. Shubuhat and shahawat, sheen. These are the two fitnas, two trials. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us, watch out. There are nations in the past who failed in the shahawat test. They are the maghdubi alayhim. There are the nations in the past who failed in the shubuhat test. They are the dhalin. So beware of failing in the trial of shubuhat. Beware of failing in the trial of shahawat, doubts and desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, والقرآن يفسر بعضه بعضا. Some parts of the Quran explain the other parts of the Quran. The maghdubi alayhim are defined in Surah Al-Baqarah. The dhalin are defined in Surah Al-Imran. Surah number 2, Surah number 3. Allah Ta'ala says about the Yahud in Baqarah, وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ. They earned the anger of Allah, anger upon anger. They earned the anger, so they are the maghdubi alayhim. Now, as we covered extensively every single night last year, is that al-ibratu li'umumi la dhalali khususi sabab. We do not limit the meaning to the sabab al-nuzul. It's not that only the Yahud are maghdubi alayhim, earn the anger of Allah, and nobody else before, nobody else after. Whoever follows their path will also earn the anger of Allah. But they are one category that has been defined as they earn the anger of Allah. Why did they earn the anger of Allah? It is because they had absolutely no confusion. They had knowledge. They had absolute knowledge regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَعْرِفُونَ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognized him to be the Prophet of Allah, just like a father recognizes his own son. Yet they disbelieved in him and they deliberately distorted the truth. فَلَمَا جَاءَهُمَا عَرَفُوا كَفَرُوا بِهِ. When that Nabi came, they recognized him, they rejected him. فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So that's why they earned the anger of Allah. They earned the anger of Allah because they disbelieved in the truth despite having absolutely no confusion whatsoever. I mean, all of these points have so many examples of this, so many examples of the Yahud and Fulah and Banu Qurayza and the rabbis and Abdullah bin Salam and etc. etc. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, he's one of them who accepted Islam, but he took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the rabbis and he said that, I know what's in the Torah, I accepted Islam, don't you believe it? You cannot reject the truth, he is the Prophet of Allah. They had no response. In the rabbinical seminary, Baitul Midras, in Medina, they would train the rabbis. So in any case, these are the people who earn the anger of Allah, as Allahu Akbar, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi says, يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They would kill the prophets without having any right to do so. So he said that, what is the right to kill a prophet, to kill anyone? The right to kill somebody would be if they commit zina. The right to kill somebody is if they kill somebody unlawfully, then there's qisas. Right to kill somebody is if they do irtidad, they leave, they forsake their religion, apostate. Just like Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he climbed the roof and he addressed the rebels who had surrounded his house. Why are you after my life? Do you think I'm a murtad? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Do you think I committed zina? Asdaquhum hayaan Uthman. I never did so in jahiliyyah. The most modest person of the ummah. And do you think I took somebody's life unjustly? Bring the case against me of murder. These are the only three reasons you could kill somebody, take their life. So why are you after my life? So Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi says that why did Allah Ta'ala say يَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. They killed the Anbiya alayhi salam, 70 prophets in one day. They killed so many prophets. They sawed Zakariya alayhi salam in half. They decapitated Yahya alayhi salam's head. That was the mahar that the woman asked from her lover. I want the head of Yahya. They attempted to assassinate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so many times, multiple occasions. So you only add the word بغير حق without a right if there's a possibility, there's a احتمال. It could be بحق, could be بغير حق. Maybe somebody deserved that, maybe they didn't. Then you define it and say, no, this person did not deserve it. But in the case of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, it was obviously never going to be بحق. So what's the point of going for and explaining this بغير حق? You understand the question? If there's somebody was killed, then the question is, was he killed بحق or بغير حق? Was he killed lawfully or unlawfully? Was it legal or illegal? But when it comes to the Anbiya, killing the Prophet of Allah is always wrong. شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَبِيًّا أَوْ قَتَلَهُ نَبِيٌّ. It's the worst person who kills the Prophet of Allah. You know, they're like this, like murder. Murder of anyone is bad. Murder of na'udhu billah of parents is worse. Murder of the Anbiya is the worst thing in the world. Like zina is bad with anyone. بِحَلِيلَةِ جَارِكِ is the worst form of zina is with the... Subhanallah. Astaghfirullah, it comes in the narrations. The worst zina is with the spouse of one's neighbor, the wife of one's neighbor, because he went out and hoping you are going to what? Preserve his home, safeguard it from outside attackers, and then you violated that. So likewise, every crime is bad, there's different levels within the crime. So murder is bad of anyone, but murder of the Prophet, you can't get worse than that. So, subhanallah, why did they add بغير حق? So then Fakhruddin Razi asked this question. It's always بغير حق. So what's the point of saying بغير حق? When something is obvious and you restate the obvious, that's low. That's waste of time. And Allah Ta'ala does not have any kalam low. So there has to be a point here. So then he said, this is relevant to what we're discussing. He said, there is a point here. The point is that in reality, it's بغير حق for sure. But there could be a confusion on the part of the killer. In his religious fervor, he could be misguided and he could think that I'm doing a religious duty by killing this heretic, by killing this person who is destroying the deen, who is coming up with a batil, falsehood. So he's killing someone that is a Nabi of Allah, but under the impression that what he's doing is right because he is misguided. But Allah Ta'ala is removing that possibility too and clarifying with the statement بِغَيْرِ حَقْ حَتَّى فِي زَعْمِلْ قاتل, that the one who was murdering the Prophet, the Yahudi, he absolutely knew what he was doing. There was no confusion in his mind. You understand? He knew that this is a true Prophet of Allah. He knew this is a recipient of wahid. And he is going and killing him. That's why بغير حق, meaning in the perspective of the killer also, he was بغير حق. That's the depth they had gone to, depraved ones. So they are the ones who earned the anger of Allah. So where is the shahawat here? Shahwat here is because shahwat is not only with the opposite gender. Shahwat is so many types of shahwat. And one of the shahwat is kibr, arrogance. And this is the reality of arrogance. Batrul haq, to reject the truth because of one's ego. Why is he from the Banu Ismail, not from the Banu Israel? We don't want to believe in this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So kibr, arrogance, is one of the biggest shahwat. And this is a manifestation of their kibr, that they rejected the Prophet of Allah despite knowing him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says غير المغضوب عليهم, is telling us, do not fall into the path of shahawat, whether it's kibr and the rest of the sicknesses of the heart. And then وللضالين, those who went astray, they did not have deliberate distortion. They had love of Isa alayhi salam, very meek and humble people, the disciples of Christ, of the Bible and afterwards. But what happened is they had excess, غلو, in love. They went so far in their love that they became deviated. One is deliberate distortion, the Yahud, with full knowledge. These people got deviated from the right path. They went astray because they got confused. There was a lot of confusingness. He was baby, he was born without a father. Then he starts speaking from the cradle. Then he touches the blind can see, touches the leper can walk, touches the dead starts walking, tells us what you're eating in our homes. So they got confused. His birth was confusing. His life was confusing. Then how he passed away or went back or died. Was he on the cross or somebody else on the cross? Was he airlifted by Jibreel alayhi salam? The Roman soldiers came and surrounded his house as the rabbis had gone to complain to the Roman authorities that this person is destroying the deen. You got to kill him. So then which one went on the cross? Was it someone else? Was it him? So there was a confusion from beginning till end. So some of them said he is God. Some said he's son of God. Some said he's one third God. So many different opinions came there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them in the Quran. He says that وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْ, all of these groups, they all are in doubt. They all are in conjecture. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ, they don't have the certain knowledge. إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ ظَنْ, they're only following their conjectures. The reality is وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا, the truth of the matter is they did not kill him. بل رفعه الله إليه, but rather Allah elevated him up to the heavens. So this Christian theology is a theology of compromise, because the Constantine emperor, he got sick of all these different groups, and he said that he locked them up in the Council of Nicaea, and he put up and he locked the chapel, and he said, you 3 days you have to come up with a religion, one theology, otherwise all of you will be killed. So that really motivated them that we got to figure it out. And that's where they came up with the whole theology of 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Right? So this was 300 years plus, 330 years plus after Isa alayhi salam was uplifted, airlifted by Jibreel alayhi salam. Then they came up with this theology. So they went astray. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا أَهْوَاءَ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ. They went astray. وَأَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا, they led others astray. So their problem was that they had really good intentions. Very meek, humble people. If someone slaps you on cheek, give the other cheek. Things like that. But then what happened is that they went astray. Best intentions will not lead to salvation if you do not have knowledge. So they had lack of knowledge despite having very pure hearts. So purification of the heart is there. Very zahid people. Their Nabi Isa alayhi salam was known for his zuhud. And they were also very zahid. Very ascetic. Very like hermits, monks, divorcing themselves from worldly pleasures, taking vows of celibacy, nuns and monks. But what happened is that they went astray because of lack of ما لهم به من علم. They didn't have knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you do not have ilm, you'll go astray. You'll fall into all these shubuhat, doubts. And the other group, they had ilm, but they earned the anger because they did not have tazkiyah. So the fitnatu shubuhat, fitnatu shahawat, these are the problems, but we also want to have solutions. The solutions to shahawat is tazkiyah, and the solutions to shubuhat is ilm, ta'aleem and tarbiyah. Islah of the zahir, rectification of your external dimension through ilm, and rectification of the internal dimension through tazkiyah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with both. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا and إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent only as a muallim to teach you ilm. I have been sent to perfect character, to make your tazkiyah. Both of them. Ta'aleem and tarbiyah, these twin principles of our education system. You go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does our tazkiyah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also teaches us subhanallah ilm. So the mashayikh of suluk and ihsan and tazkiyah, they go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their sanad. The mashayikh of ilm, of knowledge, whether it's fuqaha, whether it's mufassirun, whether it's muhadithun, whether it's mutakallimun, all the ulum, they go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by gaining ilm, inshaAllah, we will be preserved from fitnatu shubuhat. We will not become like the dhalin. And by gaining tazkiyah, purifying our heart, we will be preserved from the fitna of shahawat, and we will not become like the madhubi alayhim. That's why we need to make tawasi bilhaq and tawasi bil sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wal asri, by time, inna insana lafi khusr, all of humanity is going towards the utter loss, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, except for those who believe and do righteous deeds. So two things would have been sufficient, because everything is within iman and amal salihah. But thereafter, one, two, then you have a three and four. The three and four is to highlight these things. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. The more you speak about haq, and you haq, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ كُتُبِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, the more you speak about aqaid and the realities, then all the shubhat and doubts will go away. And تَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبَرِ is sabr is habsu nafs, making tazkiyah of the heart, purifying the heart. All the shahawat will go away. That's why tawasu bil haq and tawasu bil sabr are mentioned, even though they're already amilu salihat. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ, except for those who believe and do righteous deeds. Doing tawasu bil haq is a good deed. Doing tawasu bil sabr is a good deed. So it was already included under number two. You don't need a three and a four. But they're specifically mentioned to highlight for us again that tawasu bil haq will remove all of the shubhat and doubts, so you don't end up like the dhalin. And tawasu bil sabr will purify your nafs and your heart, so you don't end up like the maghdubi alayhim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to realize how much there is going on in this dua, this prophetic dua from the first surah that we hope to conclude tonight. We can move on to other duas from tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to realize that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We seek help from Allah. The greatest help we need from Allah is hidayah. Continual hidayah upon hidayah upon hidayah until we reach Jannah and we say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا. And identify the need that we have for sticking to the righteous people, the Nabiyyin, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, and Salihin, and that we do not fall into the fitna of Shubahat and Shahawat like the Yahud and the Nasara, the Maghdubi alayhim and the Dhalin. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ilm. May Allah Ta'ala grant us sifat of batiniya, that the may Allah Ta'ala purify our hearts, and may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala keep us steadfast on this shortest path between two dots, the straight line to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the one path, not multiple paths. And may Allah Ta'ala keep us united in our children, our loved ones, our progeny, our parents, our elders. Keep us all on the straight path until we meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Such a condition, inshaAllah, that we are pleased to see Allah and He is pleased to see us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.